There are more states that let same-sex couples get married than there are states who prohibit discrimination against their LGBT workers.
If a case comes before the Supreme Court, we will file something that will be in support of same-sex marriage.
I've thought about this for a long time. I'm not straight.
Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can.
God wouldn't be homophobic. I really would much rather go to hell than go to a homophobic heaven.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. HIV/AIDS researchers and activists become victims of the Ukraine-Russia conflict and Obama's order, Holder's vow, Thorpe's outing, Sam's win, and 227. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending July 19, 2014. The international HIV/AIDS research and activist community has been in a state of shock following the death of the past president of the International AIDS Society, world-renowned Dutch scientist Joep Lange, along with other prominent AIDS researchers and activists who may have died when Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was senselessly shot down on July 17th over eastern Ukraine, apparently by Russian-supported separatists. Glenn Thomas, a World Health Organization media coordinator from Switzerland, is also among the confirmed dead. The plane was en route from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. Several passengers were then reportedly scheduled to take a connecting flight to Melbourne, Victoria, for the 20th Annual International AIDS Conference, which was set to begin on July 20th. Of the almost 300 passengers and crew who lost their lives, the number of HIV/AIDS activists and researchers on board was first set at 108, even as reporters were trying to confirm all the names. Malaysia Airlines did not make the passenger list immediately available. U.S. President Barack Obama said that nearly 100 of those killed may have been on their way to the conference. But according to one report, organizers said on the evening of July 18th, about 36 hours after the crash, that they had only been able to confirm 7 names. So complete information about the disaster is still developing as we record this newscast. The conference will go on as scheduled, as organizers believe those who died would have wanted. Flags across Melbourne will fly at half-mast for the duration of the 6-day gathering. A national day of mourning was held in the Netherlands on July 18th to remember the 173 Dutch nationals who died. 44 Malaysians, 27 Australians, 12 Indonesians, 9 Britons, and 1 American with dual citizenship were also reportedly on board.
In other news, marriage equality continues its torrid march across the United States. The same federal appeals court that struck down Utah's ban on civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples at the end of June, a 3-judge panel of the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, overturned Oklahoma's ban on July 18th. The Denver-based court found that the U.S. Supreme Court's 2013 ruling, striking down a key section of the Defense of Marriage Act, meant that states could not deny the right to civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples. The Associated Press called that direct reasoning the first for a federal appeals court. The Oklahoma ruling was put on hold, as was Utah's, pending each state's appeal.
Florida's Attorney General has already filed an appeal challenging the July 17th ruling by Circuit Judge Luis M. Garcia to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in Monroe County, which includes the Florida Keys. The judge decided that the state's ban on civil marriage for same-gender couples is unconstitutional. 2 Key West bartenders who want to marry had challenged the ban, but the local ruling applied only to couples in that county. The quick appeal by State Attorney General Pam Bondi put the ruling on hold, however, to prevent any of Monroe County's lesbian or gay couples from legally marrying. She says that the U.S. Supreme Court needs to settle the question.
An unsigned order from the Supreme Court on July 18th granted Utah's appeal of a lower court's ruling that had ordered the state to recognize the civil marriages of more than 1,000 gay and lesbian couples who wed in Utah after a district court overturned the state's ban last December and before the high court stepped in to stop them in early January. a temporary stay of the ruling issued by the 10th U.S. Circuit ordering the state to recognize those marriages was due to expire on July 21st. So Utah officials sought the stay from Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She referred the matter to the full Supreme Court, which issued the stay pending the outcome of the state's planned appeal to the High Court of the 10th Circuit decision that overturned the ban itself.
And Colorado's Supreme Court capped off the week of marriage equality cases by issuing a somewhat strange ruling, ordering Denver County to stop issuing marriage licenses to same-gender couples while the state appeals a lower court declaration that the Centennial State's ban on them violates the U.S. Constitution. Boulder County Clerk Hillary Hall was the first to begin issuing the licenses soon after the 10th Circuit's June 25th ruling overturned Utah's ban, because rulings in that court affect five other states in the region, including Colorado. Denver and Pueblo County clerks followed suit a few weeks later. And since the state high court ruling doesn't specifically name them, clerks in both Boulder and Pueblo said they'd continue to issue the marriage licenses. Republican Attorney General John Southers has ordered all Colorado counties to stop issuing them and has appealed the trial court's ruling striking down the state's civil marriage ban to the state Supreme Court. He said that even though the high court's decision was limited to Denver, he hopes it will discourage other county clerks from starting to issue marriage licenses to lesbian and gay couples.
Elsewhere, lawmakers in Croatia, the European Union's newest member nation, have passed legislation creating life partnerships for same-gender couples. 89 MPs voted for the separate but almost equal bill that offers those couples the same rights as married heterosexual couples, except adoption. 16 MPs reportedly voted against it. The new law will give registered same-gender couples access to equal spousal health care benefits, along with tax, inheritance, and pension rights. LGBT activists applauded the move, but said that full marriage rights, including adoption, are still on the table. Liberal Prime Minister Zoran Milanovic had promised to try to undo some of the harm caused by Roman Catholic officials last year, who successfully sponsored a petition to have marriage defined in the Croatian constitution as exclusively heterosexual. The church claims some 90% of the small European nation's population.
A government official in the Southeast African nation of Malawi has told a UN human rights panel that police have been ordered to stop arresting people for engaging in same-gender sex. The law on the books punishes those acts with up to 14 years in prison at hard labor. Justice Minister Janet Tijayu Banda said that there's a political will to make good on an earlier government promise to review the law, but that, in practical terms, the country simply can't afford to jail gay people, and that financial constraints have also stalled the review. Debate surrounding the law has been going on since 2009, when trans woman Tuwange Chimalanga and her openly gay partner Stephen Manjeza were arrested for holding a traditional engagement ceremony. They were each sentenced to 14 years at hard labor in 2010, but were quickly pardoned by then-president Bingu wa Mutharika after an international uproar. He nevertheless called the couple insane and the ceremony satanic. At least three Malawi men are known to currently be serving 14-year prison sentences for homosexuality. The country's high court is reportedly reviewing their cases.
And finally, Singapore's National Library Board this week confirmed that it would remove and destroy all copies of three LGBT-inclusive children's books. And Tango Makes Three, the fact-based story of two male penguins raising a chick at the Central Park Zoo in New York City. The White Swan Express, a story about adoption, which includes a lesbian couple. And Who's in My Family? All About Our Families, which features a variety of family configurations, including those headed by same-gender parents. The library board said it is saddened by adverse reaction, mostly in social media, by many writers and rights groups that are describing the decision as censorship. But a board statement insists that its action is simply a reflection of cultural norms and that it takes a pro-family and cautious approach in reviewing books for young people. The Straits Times reported that the board also turned down the offer of at least one individual who wanted to purchase all copies of the banned books to prevent their destruction. Private consensual adult gay sex remains a crime in the tiny Asian city-state, and government officials say it should stay on the books because it's rarely prosecuted. A challenge to the law is pending at Singapore's High Court. But there's a substantial and increasingly vocal population of LGBT people and their supporters in Singapore. The annual Pink Dot LGBT Rights Rally began with a few hundred people in 2009. This year's event drew a record 26,000 people a few weeks ago. The library board's decision was apparently in response to a single complaint about the books from a woman who also discussed her objections on a We Are Against Pink Dot Facebook page.
We felt that the children in these families should have at least one book in which families like theirs were represented.
That's Justin Richardson, the co-author of And Tango Makes Three, which was originally published in the U.S. almost a decade ago. While it's taken some heat in the States, copies of the book have never been ordered destroyed. He told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that the government's heavy-handed response flies in the face of the changing social reality in Singapore.
And I think if you then look at the government's response, which is to pull a few copies of a picture book of a true story of penguins and to crush those books, it becomes clear it's a fairly impotent gesture of a government that is experiencing a real shift in public attitudes.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending July 19th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap was written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Still to come, the swim team, the football team, and the God team. But first... On July 21st, U.S. President Barack Obama made good on his June 30th Pride Month promise to issue executive orders adding federal anti-bias employment protections for LGBT people.
I've repeatedly called on Congress to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Right now, there are more states that let same-sex couples get married than there are states who prohibit discrimination against their LGBT workers. The majority of Fortune 500 companies already have non-discrimination policies to protect their employees because it's the right thing to do and because many say it helps to retain and attract the best talent, and I agree. So if Congress won't act, I will. I have directed my staff to prepare an executive order for my signature that prohibits discrimination by federal contractors on the basis of sexual orientation and identity. And I've asked my staff to prepare a second executive order so that federal employees who are already protected on the basis of sexual orientation will now be formally protected from discrimination based on gender identity as well.
The president's July 21st executive order amends two previous White House directives. Transgender protections were added to President Bill Clinton's order banning sexual orientation discrimination in federal employment. To cover federal contractors, Obama placed sexual orientation and gender identity on a footing equal to race, color, religion, sex, and national origin in President Lyndon B. Johnson's 1965 order. Federal contractors employ about 20% of the American workforce. Notably, Obama's order contains no additional religious exemptions for sexual orientation or gender identity beyond those already in the existing executive orders, exemptions many worried the president would be pressured into adding in the wake of the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby ruling. Meanwhile, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder talked with Pierre Thomas on ABC TV's This Week about the Obama administration's plan if and whenever a marriage equality case reaches the high court.
I think we will file a brief that is consistent with the actions that we have taken over the past couple of years. You know, we did not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. We were vindicated by the Supreme Court. The president then asked us to make the promise of the Windsor decision real. I sent a letter to the president, I guess a couple of weeks or so ago, that talked about all the things that we have done to knock down the barriers that still exist for same-sex married couples. So we're proud of what we have done. If a case comes before the Supreme Court, we will file something consistent with what we have done that will be in support of same-sex marriage.
Do you think that discrimination against gay people in terms of marriage is unconstitutional?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we decided not to support the Defense of Marriage Act. When you have differentiations that are made on the basis of sexual orientation, they should be subject to heightened scrutiny. That being the case, I think a lot of these measures that ultimately will come before the court will not survive a heightened scrutiny examination.
U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder was interviewed by Pierre Thomas on ABC TV's This Week.
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, it's no laughing matter what Congress could do to our civil rights. An informed community is a strong community. That's why I'm inviting you to tune in to this station to hear This Way Out.
A Nobel laureate prophesizes pride beyond the pearly gates later in the program. There were two main events on the Coming Out scoreboard this week. After years of questions, iconic Australian Olympic swimmer Ian Thorpe finally took the plunge during a 10 Network Australia interview with British broadcaster Sir Michael Parkinson.
When you talk about press intrusion, there was one area that particularly annoyed you, I know, and that was a particular question about your sexuality. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't realize this, but I was amused, forgive me for being amused, that you were first asked about this. When, how old were you?
I was, I think, 16.
16. You were asked about, I mean, a child, making your mind up. You've always said that you're not gay. You've always said that your sexual experiences have been with women. Is all of that true?
Well, that's true, but you know, I've thought about this for a long time.
I bet. Yeah.
I'm not straight.
You're not.
And this is only something that very recently, we're talking in the past 2 weeks, I've been comfortable telling the closest people around me exactly that.
Australian Olympic swimmer Ian Thorpe has found the water in the coming out pool to be just fine. And newly minted U.S. NFL football sensation Michael Sam was Gay Visibility's most valuable player on July 16th when he accepted the ESPN Television Network's Arthur Ashe Courage Award.
Thank you, ESPN, and thank you, everyone. The Arthur Ashe Courage Award is a big honor. Well, much bigger than just me. This year, I have a lot of experience being part of something bigger than myself. At times, I felt like I've been living in a massive storm, and I know the storm will end. But I'm here tonight to tell you the lessons I learned about love, and respect, and being true to yourself, and never leave me. The late, great Arthur Ashe wasn't just courageous, he was brilliant too. In fact, he once put all the wisdom in the world in three short sentences. I'm sorry. Stay where you are. Start where you are. Use what you have. And do what you can. Those were the words to live by, whether you're black or white, young or old, straight or gay. So let me tell you why those words mean so much to me, like this award does. First, start where you are. Like a lot of us, I didn't start on top, but that only drove me to get somewhere better. I was lucky to have great father figures like Ronnie Pearl, my mentor and best friend, and great coaches like Gary Pinkel and Craig Smith, who knew my story and did everything humanly possible to give it a better ending. Next, you, what you have. What I have is the privilege to play a game that I love with all my heart. Football raised me. Football taught me about hard work, about discipline, and about teamwork. But whatever passion or talent you have, follow it. Follow mine, and it got me all the way to the stage here tonight, so I can look out and see so many of my heroes looking back at me. Finally, Arthur Ashe said, do what you can. Those have been very meaningful words to me. And the way I see it, my responsibility at this moment in history is to stand up for everybody out there who wants nothing more than to be themselves openly. Recently, a friend asked me to talk to his sister, a young woman who was considering killing herself. Rather than accepting and sharing with her loved ones that the fact that she was gay. When we spoke, she told me that she would never consider hurting herself again, and that somehow my example would help her. It's amazing to think by what just doing what we can all touch, change, and even save lives. I want to just take a moment to thank some of my friends who helped me. My team, Cameron Wise and Joe Barquette, young guys who took a chance on me just like I took a chance on them. And Ken Sunshine, Ronnie and Candy Pearl, who've done so much to help me get here. My entire Mizzou family, for all the support they've given me, you will always be home. And to the Rams organization, Mr. Stan Kroenke, Les Snead, Coach Fisher, and my teammates. To my mother, a single mother who somehow raised 8 kids, I love you dearly. Last but not least, Vito. People tell me that I'm their inspiration, but you are my inspiration. Standing here tonight, looking out on all these legends who've already achieved so much, it's one of the thrills of my life. I promise to spend the rest of my life trying to my best to live up to this honor and become the best football player I can. And finally, to anyone out there, especially young people, feeling like they don't fit in and will never be accepted, please know this. Great things can happen when you have the courage to be yourself. Thank you and God bless.
That was St. Louis Rams out rookie football player Michael Sam's Courage Award acceptance speech at this week's ESPY Awards.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
With the renewed wave of official and violent homophobia sweeping across the African continent, Russia, and many other parts of the world, South Africa's preeminent representative of reconciliation and Nobel Prize winner, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, cannot be silent. He spoke out against homophobia during an NBC TV news interview this week with Ann Curry.
Why choose this issue?
I didn't choose it. He chose me. It's not a choice. I mean,
to, you don't say, I choose to be white or I choose to be black. It's a given. You don't choose your sexual orientation.
This moral pillar, joined by his daughter Empo, made this statement in the very cathedral where in the 1980s he launched his fight against apartheid. Despite the religious surroundings, he went further and spoke openly about God, the Bible, and the fear of gays.
You have said you would not believe in a homophobic God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely, utterly, and completely certain that God wouldn't be.
Wouldn't be?
Homophobic. I'd much rather go to hell. I really would much rather go to hell than go to a homophobic heaven.
What do you make of the argument that the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong?
The Bible says quite a lot of things, many of which I do not accept at all. The Bible is, we say it is the Word of God, and it is the Word of God, but it is the Word of God through the words of human beings.
His statements on the subject come amid a number of high-profile challenges to gay rights. The fight extends from Russia, which imposed new anti-gay laws ahead of the Olympics, to Uganda, where a bill imposing criminal penalties for homosexual activity was recently signed into law. In South Africa, gays and lesbians have been raped and even murdered in attempts to cure their sexual orientation.
God sits there and weeps because God is saying, do you know what? You are all my children. You're all members of one family, my family. And when are you going to learn to live amicably together?
After a lifetime fighting for equality, now at age 82, Archbishop Desmond Tutu says ending discrimination is a matter of integrity, and he can't stand on the sidelines. Ann Curry, NBC News, Cape Town, South Africa.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau and Sarah Sweeney contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. The Guess Who, John Williams and the Boston Pops, and Norman Greenbaum performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for supporting this program. Get on board at thiswayout.org, where you'll find more information about the show, links to our blog, Facebook, and Google Plus pages, and a Stitcher connection. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KDVS Davis, California, 3GCR Morwell, Victoria, WRSU New Brunswick, New Jersey, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.